Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got some breaking news we want to cover this evening. Jim Mars recently passed away. He was a very good friend. He was a warrior for truth. He wrote Population Control, How Corporate Owners Are Killing Us, Crossfire, The Plot That Killed Kennedy, and Alien Agenda, as well as covering events around the world. Amazing guy. And we've always been admirers of his work. He was a good friend of Vicetti and myself. And I had the pleasure of joining him at many conferences and having him here at the ranch. And, you know, we really wish there was more like him out there. He was a fearless straight shooter, and he'll be surely missed. And for those who have an interdimensional mind, he won't be missed because he's still really busy. He's going to be working on the other levels to turn this planet around, just like he did here. It looks like the Russian narrative has been driven to the ground by CNN and DNC. It's finally been laid to rest. You know, it was not a hack, but an inside leak. And unfortunately, Seth Rich paid the price for that, along with a trail of others who've been killed trying to expose the extreme corruption, satanic ritual, and pedophile rings operating out of D.C. So it's not over. The tide is turning, and it's all going to be revealed very soon when Operation Drain the Swamp kicks into high gear. And I'm all for, you know, a news footage in the future saying, guess what, kids? All the politicians quit, and from now on, you're going to lead yourself, you know? So that's really what we need to do. We need to lead ourselves. We need to, like, back away from the nonsense. A fireball much larger than a meter streaked across the Pacific Northwest sky Saturday. It was during our sky watch, and the so-called meteor dropped down, made a right turn directly towards Mount Adams, where a massive light door opened. And I have to say, that's a pretty smart meteor, you know, because it totally, it was amazing. It was a huge green fireball. It came across the sky, dropped down towards Mount Adams, made a slight turn right at the end. It phased out, made a turn, and the door flashed open. So obviously it was friends coming in from another system. Most likely the feline beings or lion beings, because they usually have the green energy that accompanies them. The global reevaluation again has hit a snag due to a certain monarchy figure throwing a monkey wrench at the last minute. This has been done a couple of times now, and it's just one last snag before it'll be completed as soon as this obstacle is overridden or removed, you know. So I'm sorry for the false starts. I've always said it can't launch without the funds in their proper place. And everything signed off. We're very close. The Galactic Federation has taken over now, and they're not pulling any punches. They're done with the nonsense. So the cabal, the deep state, and the major pedophile rings are now running for cover. Their nefarious plans have been thwarted. In most cases now, they're just trying to save their own skins. So there's two or three things they overlooked in their arrogance: karma, universal law, and the many ways Creator enforces universal law. So they're not frequency specific to the Earth's ascension process. Resistance is futile, time is short, and it's a no-win situation for them, yet they're still trying to hold on to their draconian ways. The good news is August 8th is the opening of the Lion's Gate. And it's a great time to find your own inner lion, the courage, and to do what's right and stand tall in your own divinity. You know, the lions are here and more are coming. So there's going to be some big shifts. August 21st, just after 10 a.m., we're going to be going to have a solar eclipse, and we're going to extend our Skywatch weekend for those who want to come and observe the eclipse and the ships, and that will also be in the skies that weekend. One last heads up, the Thunderbirds and Blue Thunder Top Gun pilots are finding out there's a new kid in the sky. UFOs are repeatedly appearing at air shows such as the recent Skyfest, buzzing their craft, doing maneuvers at speeds that are unfathomable, you know, and yes, the news actually covered it, but only on the local level. So they do cover these things at the local levels. When it starts to go on the lamestream news on the global levels or whatever, or it just gets killed, they just squash it. So, but anyway, it's happening. And one of the major things happening right now is the magnetic fields have quadrupled. So the Earth's resonant field is, you know, it used to be the Schumann resonance was around 7%, 7.5%. In Easter, it went up to over 200%. And right now, it's at like 530. So it's off the scale. And so just a little heads up, with these energies coming in, it's going to be very, very intense. We're going to have a lot of people are going to, if you expose monkeys to magnetic field fluctuations, they go from comatose to self-mutilation. So you're going to have a lot of emotional outbursts, a lot of people processing, a lot of people going to deep funks, and just a lot of movement. And so there'll be some chaos during these shifts. And we have to like find ways of holding our center and getting clear ourselves so we can hold that center and practice loving detachment and kindness through these times, because you will be tested. You know, it's going to be interesting. So August 17th to the 21st is the solar eclipse skywatch weekend. August 24th to the 28th, ground zero with Clyde Lewis. And we'll be here during a skywatch. And if you know Clyde Lewis or listen to him show, last time he was here, he walked out of the guest house and a juvenile Bigfoot ran up and skidded right up to him, said hi, and took off running through the forest. So he'll tell that story, I'm sure, while he's here. But he saw innumerable ships. He brought his engineers to prove that these were not meteors or satellites. And I'm sure he'll bring probably a lot of the same people up August 24th to the 28th. The 31st and September 4th, Labor Day weekend, we've got the Self-Mastery Teacher Training, where we're going to cover all the planes and dimensions and teach people how to discern, you know, who they're working with, how to heal unseen negative influences, and we'll talk about the multiverse and all the different beings and how to connect with your own, you know, interdimensional self and the different beings and the family on those levels, our star families. We've got September 7th through the 11th, the third Sustainability Weekend with Lisa Diana and the Mudbag Dome Building, which is right behind us over here. They've been really busting their tails out there, working really hard. Come back all covered with dirt with big smiles on their faces. So things are coming together out there, and it's an amazing experience. So sign up for that and come help build. It's going to be like a divine feminine gathering place here. It's going to be used more for the Divine Feminine. And we also have a new workshop titled Divine Feminine New Moon Workshop. And I believe we're going to have all kinds of dancing and all kinds of things happening. We've got some wonderful people doing that one. October 19th to 23rd, we have the Ambassador Training. And November 2nd to the 6th, Advanced Level Theta Healing Workshop. And speaking of which, I have Shannon Leichner right here that does the Advanced Level Theta Healing Workshop, and she's a theta healer, a practitioner. She's been, what would you call it? You said not to use medium, but what was the word you wanted?
I'm actually a spiritual catalyst.
She's like a spiritual catalyst, and yes, She's been that way all of her life. She's been gifted all of her life with these abilities to sense higher frequencies and help people heal and clear their own unresolved issues, wrong conclusions from past experience, wounds, traumas. But she's been doing that for quite a long time. How many years have you been?
Professionally, I've been doing it over 10 years, but I've been doing it my entire life.
Yeah, your entire life.
Yeah, even as a child, I was doing it.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about theta healing, what it is, and hopefully open up for questions later on. If people have any questions about, you know, what's happening, you know, on the planet, how they're feeling. And I wanted to cover something. We won't mention any names, but we just recently had, you know, we're not a suicide hotline here, but we had somebody call. It was really in crisis, and it was really great how everybody at the whole ranch here all jumped together. We all got together. We started clearing the energies, cleared everything off, and turned that event around. And so it's amazing. And thanks to Shannon's work here and her connection, she brought this to us to do the clearing. But I think it's something that, you know, if people would learn these processes and learn how to heal unseen negative influences, they should be teaching these to all the hotline operators and everything else. That, you know, a lot of people, if you're thinking about committing suicide and you're feeling those energies, a lot of those thoughts aren't yours.
Absolutely.
And there could be, there's usually multiple entities stacked up on somebody if they want to commit suicide. So it's really important to clear the unseen negative influences and then deal with the process-oriented stuff as well that they need to do, whatever childhood trauma, whatever brought them to that space. But I think it's sad that we're missing that, like in psychology and the hotlines and everything else. I have trained quite a few people that are working on these hotlines, and they're doing the clearings like behind the scenes. People don't even know. all of a sudden they go, I feel get better. Something's lifted. I don't know what happened, you know. And they just keep quiet and going on about their business. But that's really good. But getting back to Theta Healing, maybe you can explain. I know you've been doing healing work all your life, but maybe you explain to the audience, what is Theta Healing?
Well, you know, just as a kind of a precursor, I have access to a lot of different modalities, and a lot of my friends offer to teach me their modalities. And none had really fit for me because I'm kind of like this instant gratification type girl. Yeah. I want to help someone that's it's going to be instantaneous. I don't want to wait for weeks. I don't want to do all these processes. I want to heal somebody right then and there. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine said, you know, you should try Theta Healing. And I said, well, I don't even know what Theta Healing is. What possibly could Theta Healing be? And she had shown me an example of it. And I went to a class and I was hooked because mm-hmm. Theta Healing actually accesses the theta brainwaves in a state of a person, and it can shift and change things so immediately. In theta state, we are actually, you know, it's a sleep state, mm-hmm. and that is when our body begins to heal. But we can be wide awake and in theta and be at our peak manifestation, peak creativity, and really make some huge changes in our life.
Somebody told me about theta. They said when you're in the theta state, a lot of times you don't sweat the small stuff. You're so high and you're so blissed out that like names and numbers just kind of go away. So that's my excuse. I go, I'm in theta. What's your name again?
No. Usually so, that's delta.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, it's kind of funny. But I've heard all these different stories about that. But
at first when you practice going into theta state, you do feel a little lightheaded and you do feel a little airy and loopy. But as more and more as you're in it, you really begin to take advantage of the energies and really begin to create what it is you want your reality to be.
Mm-hmm. And so the basic of that is basically it teaches personal responsibility and creating your tomorrow or creating your own reality and releasing the past so you don't recreate the same old stories, you know, over and over again.
90% of our issues are when we're dragging down around dead bodies behind us. You know, we have this chest of our old angers and old resentments, and then mm-hmm. let's add on all of our old programming from when we were younger. And so that needs to move in order for us to be more fruitful in our path.
And I know I've been an old Viking warrior in a past life, so I'm sure I'm dragging around quite a few dead bodies.
Literally,
me and my broad axe, you know. But hopefully, I've cleared those, and we're all at peace right now. But it's kind of funny. I know when you get to the other side, you go, "I remember you. You hacked my head off," you know,
and we're Vikings, very nice.
You know. Yeah, and they go, "Yeah, well, you stabbed me through the heart in the last lifetime, so we're even," you know. But, you know, we're all eternal and we have to go back to that space where we can release these things.
And what's so fun about that, if you really think about the bigger picture, it's all a game.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, last time you cut my head off, so this time I'm just going to bite your head off every time you come in the room. You know, it just becomes a game and it's all about learning and growing and just becoming a better person.
Do you have some stories about how maybe people have that's come up? I know you probably can't mention names or anything, but some special stories where people have realized what the core issue of something was going on in their life didn't even happen in this life, or it might have happened, you know, at some childhood event or something like that.
Well, I actually have a client who has never been able to have children. Mm-hmm. And so we were working together and I'm able to, you know, tap into somebody's past life, and usually through Theta you can do that as well. And we realized that she actually had died during childbirth many times, you mm-hmm. know, in her lifetimes. And then the last time she actually was able to have a child, and that child died in front of her. Mm-hmm. So this lifetime, she kind of programmed herself not to have any children because it was something that would, you know, would be detrimental to her. And when she understood that, she actually was at peace with not having kids. She was okay with it. And sometimes all we need to know is what really has happened. You know, we need to know what's happened in our past life so we can understand why we are where we are in this mm-hmm. in this lifetime.
Great. I know when I remember I had an experience where I had this couple and they bought a boat, you know, together, and they wanted to go sailing on this boat. It was like their dream. And I think it was more of their process. But anyway, they got this boat. Whenever they got on the dock and got together, they just started fighting and just get really angry at each other, you know, and they couldn't figure out what was going on, and they just wanted to kill each other. It was really weird. So we took them through this past life in regression to find out what it was, and they both, you know, had killed each other next to water. And it happened. And so whenever they got together next to water, it would trigger those energies, those feelings. And
did they sell the boat?
No. Actually, we cleared the energy and they went down. There's no problem anymore.
Oh, nice.
So they're out sailing around on the Columbia right now. So,
you know, the best story I have for theta healing is there was a girl in my class, because I teach martial arts as well. There was a girl in my class, 25 years old, stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. And right before my class, she had had a stroke. And she wasn't able to continue in my class because it's very physical. And I said, you know what, read the Theta Healing book, I'll pass you. Because she said she needed this class to graduate, so that she wanted to graduate before she died. It was an accomplishment she wanted. And so I had her read the Theta book, and she called me and she was angry. She says, I believe in God, and you know, God heals, and you ask God and God will receive. I said, did you read the book? And she says, well, I read part of it, and then as soon as it talked about psychics, I wasn't into it. And I said, if you would have read the book, it's working with the Creator. It's working with the universe. And the Creator is the same thing as God. And so I was able to show her what Theta Healing does. And I was able to remove some old past energies with her father. And come to find out, it's been 5 years now and she's still alive. She's all over Instagram and going everywhere. And she just had a birthday a couple days ago.
Oh,
and
nice.
She's completely cancer-free. And so sometimes it's just recognizing these old past energies so you can get rid of them, so you can move on with your life.
I know a lot of times it's just old grudges and old wounds and traumas, and you know, we can't, you know, digest them, you might say. You know, we haven't been able to. So they're just like stewing inside of us, and that's what creates the cancer. But it's kind of interesting when you go down to the core issue. I've seen that. I know one woman, it was really interesting because, and this might trigger some things with some people, but one woman, she had cervical cancer. And so I was talking to her one day and she goes, well, you do clearing work. And I said, yeah, I do clearing work. And she told me, she goes, I have cervical cancer. I said, really? I said, so how do you feel about yourself? You know, like, how do you feel about, you know, your sexuality and things like that? And she goes, well, I'm androgynous, you know? She goes, I'm androgynous like this. And I said, but you're in a woman's body. You know, and you're denying energy to that part of yourself. You're cutting the energy off to that part of yourself. And something happened, you know, we have to go back and find out why and clear the patterns, you know. And she was in a relationship, you know, with another woman and everything else. And it was really interesting. So we cleared the patterns, we cleared it all out. And then she kind of decided that she was going to end that relationship, which I got a lot of heat for. I didn't say it was good or bad. I didn't say, I just cleared the energy and it went away. It was, she made peace with her husband and everything just went away. Wow. And, it was amazing how quick that happens. But I see over and over, it's just, there's reasons that we're denying energy to certain parts of our body. There's blocks or patterns. Yes. And if we can remove that pattern, the body will heal itself, you know, as soon as we clear that pattern out.
I say that our brains are the most powerful parts of our body. Our minds are extremely powerful, and we can program our bodies to do just about anything. Our only limitations are the limitations that we put on ourselves.
Yeah. Mine's laziness. I go, why didn't I do that? You know, it's like, but I'm pretty good, but I know a lot of things, like just with diet and having a daily practice of Qigong and yoga and things like that. I get so busy with external things happening here at the ranch and the clearing work and everything else that I kind of skip that part. And I notice that, okay, I have to get back and do this on a regular basis. And as soon as I do, they feel great. You know, as soon as I get back to a regular, protocol or whatever.
It's like working that muscle, you know. If you stop working the muscle, it just feels so hard to get back into it. But then once you get back into it, it's like vibrant and you just feel good, and all those what do they call those, the serotonin starts going and you start feeling good and you feel like strong again.
Yeah, I used to teach bhakti yoga for like 11 years and now I know some of those poses, I couldn't even get close to them, but I know I need to get back into that. But I love that yoga because it was spirit, mind, and body. It covered all the aspects and it was more heart centered. But, you know, I did learn a lot in there, you know, but then I had a back injury. So I had to chill out for a while and let that heal. But I know just through whatever process I have left in that and a regular practice, I can turn that around again.
Absolutely. You know, I was going to mention to you, we've had a lot of response for the Theta Healing class so far. Mm-hmm. And the funniest thing is that a lot of the people who took it last year want to retake it again.
Oh, nice.
Because it was such a powerful event, and it was 4 days of just healing, and we do field trips and dancing and fun and just really enjoying yourself and really getting to know who you are again. And so we have people who are returning from last year to mm-hmm. take the class again. So, you know, I encourage everybody else to come and sign up too before everyone else takes the spots.
Yeah. I know there's so much said. And also, too, they can go to eSETI events to check into that to find out, or eSETI.org will also take you there to yes. find out more about the class. And I believe that was what, the 2 to 6 November?
Oh, yes.
Second?
Yeah, so if you take the beginning class this coming weekend,
yeah.
the 10th through the 13th, you can take the advanced course in November.
Yeah. Interesting.
She and these are certifications where you can actually be a practitioner after you take these courses.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Put another badge under your hat there.
Yes, another tool in your toolbox.
Yeah, yeah. I know, I always found out, because when I was... after the near-death experiences and everything else I had back, you know, in the 70s, I realized that the only reason people are unhealed and unhappy and everything else is all goes back to consciousness. And so I started learning every process-oriented therapy mm-hmm. I could look at and find out. And like you were saying, I want the fast one. I want,
yes.
you know, I'm tired of messing around. I don't want to take somebody and go, okay, you were an Indian in a past life and somebody shot you with an arrow, you know, and then they walk out and they go, oh yeah, that's where this pain is. And they walk out and they still have the pain, you know,
yes.
and all you did was bring it up to the surface. You
yes.
know? And I know with the transpersonal release sessions, you go boom, boom, boom. You're like, this happened, then let's clear it, boom. And it happens so much quicker. You know, that way.
That's what I do. I always tell my clients, even at the beginning of a session, I say, I'm not going to point out anything that I'm not going to help you fix by the end of the session.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're going to fix these. I'm not going to lift them all up, open Pandora's box and go, well, good luck.
Yeah, yeah. And I know too, when you clear, let's say, if people have like, let's say 9 major things, if you clear 8 of them, they're going to have so much energy running through them. When they walk out with that 9th one, it's going to hit them like a brick.
Yes.
Because it's going to be super energized. And so I was trying to be really thorough and make sure and get everything. But the nice thing is when you have your own personal connection with Creator, God, whatever you want to call it, your main teacher and guide, they're always with you and they'll help you clear that very quickly and gracefully.
Absolutely.
You know, versus just walking through it here in the physical, you know, which is, can be a real drag after a while.
Oh, I work very closely with the angels and mm-hmm. they have said many times to me, we would love to help a lot of people, but if they don't ask, we can't help. You know,
yeah.
it is the process of asking. And that's another aspect that we add onto the Theta Healing course that is different from other Theta Healing courses, is that I add the angelic energy and the angelic communication and the angelic healing energy to the Theta Healing course. So it's mm-hmm. another aspect for that. But we learn to ask, and they don't want to be prayed to. They want to be asked.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all about intention, you know, setting your intention, being really clear. And also being able to accept it, the healing. Because some people, you know, they're going like this. They're going, okay, you know, I want this to happen. They're kind of going like this. And that's what they get. They get a little bit, you know. But they, okay, just let me have it. I don't care what I have to go through. And then, bam, then they get the full healing.
Well, I'm sure, like with you, you have clients that come to you and they say they want help. And they're so ready, you know, I want help. Then you give them, okay, this is your homework. This is what we need you to do. They come back to you a month later with the same issue. They come back to you a year later, same issue. And you said, well, did you take care of that? Oh, well, no, I didn't feel like doing that. That wasn't comfortable for me. Well, healing
yeah.
isn't comfortable. Healing
no,
is a process.
That's the last thing you want to do is stay in your comfort zones, you know,
oh.
because like I was just this last weekend or weekend before that, I was with Michal Levith, and I love what he said. He goes up to people and he says, so how you doing? Is everything going well? And people are going, oh, yeah, yeah. So you have any challenges, you know, any chaos in your life? And They go, no. And he goes, well, that's too bad. Yeah. Because you're not evolving. You know? And it's kind of funny. He's quite a character.
Or there'll people will come up to you and they'll say, I have no issues. There is nothing you can do to help me. And then you look at them and you say, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I know that you're taking on this burden. And then they just let it all out.
Yeah,
It's like their mom and their dad and their family. And you're going, I thought you didn't have any issues.
I know. You know, that's the quickest way to get to your issues and say, I have no issues.
Yes.
I like that. No, I'm perfectly fair. I'm already in the fifth dimension, you know? And they have a mask, you know, they have this smile, this fake smile on the mask.
Oh, yes.
And you look behind the mask and go, oh, I don't think so.
Yes. You go, yeah. Well, we can always, you know, stand to help a little bit and change a little things here and there.
Yeah, I think it's kind of an ongoing thing. I call it smug spirituality or spiritual ego or whatever. And I see a lot of people in there, and they're just not grounded, you know, and they have these truths that they can spout out all the aphorisms and everything else and say all the right things and everything, but they haven't done their work. You know, they haven't gone in and healed that inner child, you know, or that past life trauma or that things like that. But they're very good at masking it and putting an image out that they're... Mm-hmm. That they're also holy, you know. But
yes.
I'm seeing now is that it's not working anymore.
No.
There's no more. The masks are all coming down. Mm-hmm. The energy's coming in is so strong. And I've seen some of the people on the highest levels in spirituality or healing or even ufology right now are really falling apart. I mean, they're having to face, you know, their issues and their, you know, everything is being exposed, right? And it's going to
well,
be
that is the energy right now.
It is.
It's kind of a stripping away of all of the masks and all of the veils and all of those things. And I always say stripping away of the cobwebs.
Yeah.
And then what do you have left? You have you. You have to deal with you, and you have to deal with the stuff that's, you know, lined up for you to deal with.
Yeah. And yet you have that triangle, the victim, persecutor, savior triangle going on, and everybody's jumping into this triangle, and I'm really learning now. I used to jump in as savior all the time, and now I'm going, okay, let's hear the whole story, you know. And somebody will tell me, you know, this guy did that, and I want to talk to the guy and I want to hear his side, you know, or something like that. It's kind of interesting. And then you hear two sides, and it's all about perspective or and where are come from. Are we coming from a victim pattern? Are we coming from a wounded, you know, are we seeing it, you know, as the god or goddess that we are, you know, the truth of our being? And I always tell people, you can be a warrior or a warrior. Which one do you want to be? You know, you can worry about this stuff and create it again and again and again, or you can, you know, buck up and heal it.
I always say you can't be a victim and a leader at the same time. So you have to choose which one do you want to be, a victim or a leader.
Yeah. And we can lead the victims.
Well, yeah, you can lead the victims.
Which is a lot of that going on right now.
Yeah, you can stand there and be the supporter for the victims.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I'll probably get a lot of flack for this, there's a lot of that in the women's movement. And I'm just saying, you know, a lot of that, those men, and they're very wounded and very angry. And that's not a whole woman. I mean, that's not the divine feminine expressing there, because the divine feminine is very powerful. It's very plugged in. It's very tapped in. And it's that love, that love we're all looking for. I think it's the ultimate power. And, you know, it's amazing how I see people give that up because of wounds and traumas and try to act like men, which have totally screwed the planet up, you know. The old patriarchal programs have screwed it up. And I just go, you know, we don't need that. We don't need more of that.
Yeah.
We really need the divine feminine to come out, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I always say, being a Christ doesn't mean being a doormat. The same thing, being a goddess doesn't mean being a doormat either. You know, but
Somebody had mentioned to me the other day, and I had heard this before, but somebody had mentioned it. And she had said, how may I support you? Mm-hmm. I was talking to her, and I said to her, I said, you know, that is like the perfect fix it for a relationship. You know, if both parties were saying, how may I support you, then the relationships would be so much better these days. But then we were talking about, well, if we're not in service, because if we're in service, we're in servitude, we are lower than somebody else. No, we are support staff. We are here to support you in your best path. We are not here to serve you and pull you through your best path. We're here to walk next to you and walk with you.
Yeah. I was listening to this one woman, and I love what she said. She was talking about her relationship. She says, well, we each put in 98%. I thought about that. You know, she goes, it's not 50-50. You know, we're both putting in 98%, you know.
Where does the other 4% go?
Yeah,
for,
it's kind of
two
like,
for each person?
Yeah, I don't know. But she was just saying, like, we're not, we don't make sure we got enough here. We're both giving as much as we can to the relationship. Mm-hmm. And she said that makes it work, you know.
It does. You know, it isn't 50-50. And if you're looking for your other half, if you're looking for a half of a person, then there's something seriously wrong.
Yeah.
And you got to find someone who's whole, and you've got to be whole in order to attract that whole.
Well, there's that. What I see, we are so programmed for external fulfillment. We don't even know how to go within, because within everyone is this loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting God or goddess. We're already happy. We're already blissed out. When you connect to that, it's not an external thing. But we've been so programmed, heavy duty, they're restlessly interference.
They're trying to interfere with it, huh?
Exactly. It's hilarious. They probably drove over here knowing this show was going to be out there. but anyway, going back to that, I just laugh at it. You know, it takes me higher when people try to interfere. But going back to that, what was they talking about? I lost my train.
No, actually, there must have been a wave or something, because I kind of forgot.
I did. I just felt a big clearing of energy go through. But anyway, it's just so interesting right now. Oh, it's talking about external and internal.
Yes.
We're so programmed to seek joy and love and acceptance and approval outside of ourselves, and it's supported by, you know, the TV, the radio, the everything, you know.
Yes.
And it's just totally, you know, survival, sex, and power keep you in the first three chakras. And it's always external survival, sex, and power. You know, we'll save you. You know, we'll make you happy. If you drink this beer, you'll get the blonde in the bikini playing volleyball. You know, it's like, you know, it's funny. Just like you're just hammered with that over and over. And, you know, it's funny on YouTube. Actually, John brought it up. He showed me, he turned on this Tibetan channel, you know, it's like a Tibetan meditation museum. We put it up on the main screen. I go, wow, I go, that should be on TVs everywhere, you know.
Yes.
And you know, things like that. But
you think about the commercials and the biggest ones, I've watched a lot of Spanish TV, and they'll show the woman in the bikini with the car and, you know, all of these great things, and then she goes, Pepsi. And
I know.
That whole thing had nothing to do with Pepsi.
I know. Yeah, I know, exactly. I was typing in to get the call-in numbers. Hopefully he'll give me the call-in numbers and we have some time to take some calls. If anybody already has those call-in numbers and you want to call in, go ahead and give us a call. We can take any questions. And you can, you know, ask about, you know, your process, what you're going through, anything, your heads up on what's happening on the planet we might have missed, and really, you know, that's my newsletter, everything. Bleep, I don't surf the net. People send me all these articles. They keep me updated on everything, and I have friends in high places I talk to quite a bit, and they kind of fill me in as well. But it's funny, it's not I don't have a team of researchers and everything else to do that. It's like the audience are the researchers.
Yes, they are.
And the people on the newsletter, you know, the free newsletter, they send me stuff all the time. And so it kind of frees me up in a way. So,
yeah, that's great. You know, one thing I wanted to mention, too, about some people who have illness, and actually a lot of people who have illness, a lot of illnesses are serving that person. So mm-hmm. If someone is sick and they can't seem to heal, and they've been to healer after healer after healer, the question they need to ask themselves is, how is this illness serving me?
Mm-hmm.
I know someone who has severe trouble with her feet. And before that, her marriage was falling apart. She was running all over the place and they were fighting. And as soon as she got hurt with her feet, her husband and her marriage completely changed. He started doting on her. He started giving her everything she needed. And she was just waited on. And so she's not healing. I've tried to heal her. She's gone to many healers. She's not healing because it's serving her.
Exactly.
And so I would say the question is to ask yourself, how is it serving you, and how do I shift that to something else?
That is important. I've seen that again and again, where where, you know, victims will use their role to gain either financial support or emotional support from others. And they'll just, they don't know how to break out of that pattern because it works. It works for them. It keeps them, you know, keeps them in funds, and it keeps them, you know, but, you know, why not create from your own God center? Why suck off others? You know, it's like, it's really important to heal those patterns. And, you know, I think, you know, it's important that we all become a blessing to life versus a burden.
And create the positive, extra healthy, you know, exuberant lifestyle. Why do you have to create the negative? You know, why live in those, like you said, in those lower chakras when you can live in the higher energy? You know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is the big one. You know, why live in the lower ones when you can, mm-hmm. you know, be fruitful in the higher ones?
I've seen so many people, and, you know, sometimes I understand it because, you know, there are culture and religious programs and societal programs, and people are raised in those environments, and they have to go against that whole thing to step out of that, and sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. But I think it's so important right now just to make that choice. You know, it's like, and the first step is forgiveness, you know, like, okay, forgive yourself for creating this reality, those who co-created it with you, and let it go. Don't live in the past. Release the past and say, okay, now we're going to focus on creating a different tomorrow. Yes. And I see that happening a lot, where people are just stuck blaming, you know, everybody else for their predicament, you know, versus saying, okay, you know, this, you know, eventually you just go, okay, this has happened before. This is a reoccurring pattern. And maybe it's time to look at it. And it'll come around again and again until it hits you like a truck, you know, and then you have to look at it.
And the other one is, you know, when you're pointing at somebody, you've got one finger pointing at them, but you have three more pointing at you. And then you've got the thumb pointing up to the universal energy, so everybody knows it's you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I found out, you know, there's a thing called reverse karma I use. It's like if I lose my car keys, I blame somebody. And then instantly, bam, you know, it's like they're there, you know. I joke around with it. I said, you know, when you get to a certain level, you almost have instant karma. You have to be really careful energetically. And I said, oh, I'm going to use it. I'll use reverse karma. You know, I'll just joke around with it and blame somebody else. And bam, instantly my car keys. And I find them right where I left them. You know? Or somebody comes and goes, here's your keys. You know, it's like.
I always say that was a fun game. Now return them back.
Yeah. We do have the borrowers here that like to move things around.
Yes.
Yeah.
To talk about the electronics that go extremely haywire here.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I mean, this is a vortex, and it is the veil between worlds are very thin. There's a lot going on. It does affect electronics, but I think with the Schumann resonance going off the scale right now, and everything else happening. It's a combination of things, you know, that are, I think eventually, and this is going to freak some people out, I think eventually electronics are going to fail. I think the grid, if this energy keeps going the way it's going, and the vibrational lifting continues, eventually we're going to have to transition to a new technology that can handle, you know, these new frequencies.
That's why I always say keep one of those classic cars around somewhere, because they're not on computers. They're on just good old engines.
I got a couple of those here.
Keep the classics.
Yeah, I have an 82 Ford Ranger that's still hanging in there. It's still running, you know, still going on. Poor thing. I mean, it's been shot at. It's had the brake lines cut on it, lug nuts taken off of it, and the tires pass me on the road sometimes. They've tried everything to kind of take that poor little car out, but I keep it as a monument. You know, still here. You know, we're still here.
It's kind like of a big neener, huh?
Yeah. You got the hummingbirds buzzing us right now, having a good time.
Oh, yes. You know, I was going to say about the whole ranch coming together to help that one person that was having a hard time. Like you said, it was such a show of family and such a show of universal love that everybody just dropped what they were doing and rushed over to help this person. Mm-hmm. And there was 11 of us in that room, which is a power number, which was awesome. Yeah. But the fact that everybody just, they don't know this person, but it didn't matter. It was about the universal love, and it was about the energy of helping someone in need.
And you know what's interesting too is, like, almost everyone in the room was, we were all, it's kind of weird. It seemed like everybody was there was kind of practicing loving detachment. People weren't getting in the drama going, oh crap, he's going to kill himself. We all got to go right now. We got to, you know, nobody was doing that. Everybody's going, okay, let's go in there. Let's all create space. Let's just clear this energy out, send him love, hook him up with his higher self. And it was just, it's really different then. And then you're, when you're doing that, you're in creationary mind, you're creating a different reality versus reacting to what's happening and getting caught up in it. And I think that's going to be a big test for all of us in the future, is to hold space and stay in that creation mind versus, you know, reaction mind.
And redirect ourselves from the drama. I mean, there's really no need for it. You know, you just, and that's the theta part. When your mind is in theta mode, drama really doesn't matter. You know, you look at it and go, ah, you're annoying, but hey, that's what makes you cute, you know, or whatever. But it's
As I noticed, if you really got to charge around things, it means you got a hook. You got to get that hook out of your system. And it doesn't mean you don't deal with things, you know, but you can deal with things without the charge and in a loving way and move things on that need to be moved.
And a lot more effectively.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you look at your triggers and you handle your triggers and you're not handling it with an emotion, mm-hmm. it's a lot more effective to remove than if you're emotionally connected to it.
Yeah. And it's hard to get that switch off, you know, that switch goes and then you're in like mode, you know, and you go, okay, I got to switch back, hook in to the higher dimensional stuff and use loving compassion, but you still deal with the issues, you know, you still do what needs to get done, but you're just coming from a different space.
A friend of mine was talking about that there's a specific part of our brain that releases a chemical when we're in fight or flight, and the brain doesn't know if it's a remembered thing or if it's an actual threat at that moment. Mm-hmm. And so it will react in any way. So when we're triggered, the brain releases that chemical in fight or flight, whether or not it is a real or remembered incident.
Exactly.
And so one of the techniques that she uses is to count backwards in odd numbers. So it you have to really think about it, and it puts you back into the now instead of all over with the energy.
Oh, that's a good one. Count backwards in odd numbers.
With weird numbers where you just go, okay, I really have to think about this now. Start using fingers and toes.
I had a teacher once say that to me. She goes, up and up is down, down is up. Your left is right and right is left. She said, she goes, just keep saying this over and over again, you know, and pretty soon you go, I don't know anything anymore. She goes, okay, you're there.
You know? I don't know why I was angry.
So it's kind of like, I'm just seeing over and over, we don't know what a soul needs for completion, you know, what their path is.
Right.
And, you know, you might have this total enlightened being that just needs one more thing to get through. And it may look really mundane or stupid on your level, but, you know, it's just one little thing they got to process to get over, and then they're there. You know, I've seen that happen over and over again. You know, I saw an event once where a guy, he went nuts, you know, with an M16 or whatever, and he started shooting kids and he went crazy. And one kid walked right towards this guy. I've told the story before. He had his hands out like this, and he took the whole clip, all the bullets, like, and they couldn't figure out why this kid not go down, you know, he just took them all, and it saved the other kids, you know, and so, you know, everybody's really upset about it and everything, and so we looked into it on another level, and that kid was responsible for the death of a lot of people in another lifetime, and he came in for that, and that was all he needed for completion. You know, he took the bullets and he saved the other kids. And so now he could find balance. And actually, all he had to really do was forgive himself. But he couldn't do that. He had to act it out. And so he ended up, you know, ascending after that, because that was all he needed to finish. And so no matter what we're seeing on this level, there's always another story and a different story. And it helps you understand, you know, was he a victim? No, he came to do that. That's what he came to do. Is it cool to shoot kids? No. You know, I'm not saying it's okay. You know, people go, oh, yeah, you're a child murderer. And I said, no, that's not okay. It goes against universal law, you know, but this was something that was being worked out.
Yeah, a lot of people are dealing with a lot of karmic issues right now and what they've done in their lives. And I always say, you know, if you don't like the way your life is going, stop and yell, plot twist. You know, it's time to shift the plot. But a lot of people will still sit in that energy and say, oh, you know, this is my karmic issue. Well, how long do you want to be in that mode? How long would you like to sit in that karma, or would you like to clear it and just move past it? And then the big one is forgive yourself.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't understand that forgiveness is automatic with the source. You know, it doesn't have an ego. It can't judge. And, you know, like even Jesus said that, you know, I don't judge thee, nor does my Father judge thee. Go and sin no more. He sent quit doing it. You know, you're creating a reaction to your actions. Go and don't do that anymore. And you're okay. You know, just stop it. You know, and people don't understand what he was saying there. But, you know, if we carry our books, you know, we carry the guilt and the fears and all the other stuff, and we can clear those within ourselves, and we can get assistance from our higher selves and from the source and from, you know, higher dimensional beings that are here to clear those things out. But it's really, we can't blame, you know, God or give credit to God for everything. You know, just like the devil, you can't blame the devil for everything. You know, it's like it's really about personal responsibility and, you know, action reaction. You know, we make choices and we act on those choices, and there's a reaction. It's really simple, and it's such a cool setup. I mean, yes. I always tell people, I said, who designed this? I mean, this is amazing. You know, you don't even have to be around to maintain it. It takes care of itself. You know,
it's like a boomerang. It'll come back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I always tell people, I have a lot of people coming to me and saying, I don't understand why my life is like this. I'm the one that's always, you know, getting stepped on and everything. And I tell them, I say, well, you know, you're choosing it. You know, do you want to choose to continue in this hamster wheel, or do you want to get off and pick a new life? And I always say, let's change your theme. Mm-hmm. Your theme doesn't have to be, you know, the victim. It can be something else. And so I think the biggest thing is look at why things are happening and then shift it.
Yeah, we're trying to get the call-in numbers here. We're doing a remote broadcast right now, so we don't have our usual studio with the call-in numbers and everything. But hopefully they'll shoot them the call-in numbers. But again, if anybody does have the call-in numbers, you can go to the site, you know, the website, BBSRadio, and .com, and check it out. And they'll give you the call-in numbers, station one. And, you know, if you want to call in, it looks like, they just flashed on the screen. So dial 888-627-6008. It's 888-627-6008 if you want to call in. And if you have something to share, or you have some of your own experiences, or need a little help getting through something, give us a ring. And we're waiting for all right, they're hooking it up now, so they're getting set up to take calls. But this is all new stuff right now. We have all new equipment. We have an amazing new studio that we're putting together. We're going to do some live broadcasts with the camera on. This is going to be awesome. Thanks to John and Jim, everything's taken off like crazy. And actually, too, make sure and go to the SETI Stargate, the official SETI Stargate on YouTube, and it'll blow your mind. The interviews up there about what's happening to the ranch, the footage, the UFOs, all that stuff is all on there. Just amazing footage of UFOs coming in with multiple witnesses. And we've got Jadar here, the wonder dog. He's still hanging out. You know, he's still here at the ranch. You know, we had 23 years. You know.
That's it.
Yeah. Talk about being a master. I don't know what that is in dog years, but it's probably about 160 or something.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
You know, the ranch has been pretty active lately with the Bigfoot around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They past two nights, they've been doing their calls and their hoots and their hollers and their their moos, which are really funny because you think about it, like cows don't moo that loud, and they don't actually go moo. You know?
And they don't surround you.
Yeah.
And the hoots are funny because, you know, what people that have been around Bigfoot, that most people don't know this, but when they talk, they inhale. They don't exhale. And so when they hoot, they go like this.
Yes.
And that's how you know it's a dead giveaway. And I was sitting there asleep, and all of a sudden I hear like this, and I go, what was that? And they're saying my name, and it's definitely not human. And I thought there was this friend of mine messing around, but he was gone. Him and his aunt were here, and I thought they walked by my window, were screwing around, because I got up right away, and I looked out the window, and there's like nobody there, you know. So they're having fun playing around with people, they're like shaking cars and things like that, just, you know, getting people ready. You know, they have to give people a little of time, because we're talking about that once, about the you know, people say they're ready, you know, I'm ready, I want the ship to land, I'm ready, you know, and they keep saying this, and then the ships start coming in really close, and you see them running for a tree and hanging onto a tree going, don't take me, you know. So you know, we have to ask ourselves, are we really ready? You know, have we transcended fear? You know, have we, do we have the discernment to actually tell who is on those ships, you know, and which group and things like that? And, you know, it's all about self-mastery. When you master fear and you have the inner sensitivity to tell who's on the ships, you know, then that's when contact comes. But there's no purposeful good in contacting somebody that's going to go into some religious program or fear or whatever else. They just take the high road. I mean, they'll let you see their ship when they buzz over, but they'll probably stay pretty high.
You know, I have nothing against religion. I actually have a respect. Sometimes people need that. You know, they need the structure. Mm-hmm. But there's the joke that says, you know, when Jesus actually does come, the religious people will say, the devil has arrived. But the spiritual people will go, it's about time.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like we do have a caller. We've got Kelly on line one. Kelly, are you with us?
Hi, yes, good evening. How are you guys doing?
Great. Hello, welcome
Kelly.
To the show.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So I do have a quick question. I have experienced something really interesting. I've never really shared with anyone about it, but a lot of times during my meditation, I've noticed that for some reason, I seem to become very, like, physically tired. And I didn't know if there's just maybe something off balance energetically that's leading to that, or is that something because of other forces? Or so I didn't know if maybe either of you had insight into that. What could be a kind of reasoning behind that?
Go ahead.
Well, there's a couple things that I'm feeling. When you're meditating, are you grounding?
I do my best to set aside a good, actually, I know that there's the healing negative influences that a lot of the folks that you study mm-hmm. have made available. So I do my best to do that beforehand.
Okay, because what
which
I'm
does incorporate that kind of, you know, but someone has mentioned that to me too. You know, if you could kind of maybe explain that to me.
Well, actually, what I'm feeling is that you feel like you have a very elemental energy, which means you're very connected to the earth and the earth elements. And what I'm feeling is that as you're meditating, you're way up high, you're way in those wonderful etherical planes. But when you come back down to earth, you're starting to feel the heavy energies again. You're starting to feel I feel like you're empathic as well, so you're probably sucking up a lot of the negative energies, or not even negative energies, but maybe even just the heavy energies of the earth. And so what you might want to do is make sure that you clear yourself and give yourself a little bit more time in the higher realm, so that when you come back down, you're all cleared and you're shielded from anything that would weigh you down right away once you come back.
Okay, yeah, that makes so much more sense. It's interesting that you mentioned the empathic part, because that's actually something that had come up before. I participate occasionally when I'm able to in some of the Wednesday night I don't want to say online, but it's over the phone workshops with Ashley at eStudy. And those are wonderful. So just a shout out to those Wednesday evening events. I love them. But that had actually come up at one point, being empathic and kind of absorbing, I guess. Would be the right term. And that's just, oh my gosh, in itself is... I'm just trying to kind of play with that and understand that better.
Definitely
been a challenge.
You have all those felines are coming in right now. You have a strong feline connection as well. And working more with them will keep you guarded, you know, keep these other energies off, will help clear them. I'm curious. Ashley just told me that she did a meditation. She invited people to astral project or travel to eSeti, you know, and come in your spiritual body and check it out. I was wondering if you tried that, because she just told me about that. I walked in the morning. I said, you know, all last night and this morning, all these people appeared to me and they're like waving at me and I didn't know who they were. She goes, I did this meditation. I invited people to come to the ranch and I go, well, it worked, you know? So I told her, I said, next time you should get a picture of everybody so I can see who is successful, you know, in doing that.
Well, I was there, so it was nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, send me a, do you have her email? Send me a picture of you, because I'm really curious if because I remember very clearly about five people that showed up, and
okay,
they were
cool, yeah.
They were totally waving like, hi. It was intentional, you know, like, hi, I'm here, you know, so, and I didn't even know that she did that meditation.
Oh, yeah, it was wonderful. I mean, it was so beautiful. It was a great experience. And just to double check real quick, is that the UFO Jane email? Or I wasn't sure which one, because I know you all have a couple of them.
Yeah, the UFO James one, and put a little subject matter in there.
Okay, awesome. I'll go ahead and do that. And thank you so much, Shannon, for your insight. I really appreciate that.
All right, great. Yeah, well, thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening.
All right, wonderful. Have a great night. Thank you.
All right, you too. You know, unfortunately, we're hitting the end of the hour here. So before we sign off, what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
I'm very, very accessible. You can. My website is shannonleischner.com, which is shannonleischner. I'm also on Facebook, Shannon Leischner. I'm on Twitter, Psychic for Stars. And then also I am on Instagram, Psychic for Stars as well.
Great. Awesome.
Yes.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show,
and
I'm sure we'll do it soon.
Pleasure.
And I guess we have the two events coming up. The first workshop is
August 10th through the 13th, which is next weekend. I hope that you guys can come and have a great time, and then you can go on to the advanced, which is November 2nd to the 6th.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And you can go to esetievents.com and check that out, or
absolutely,
even the eSeti Oracle will take you there. But anyway, we've got to sign off, and it's been a great evening. We're going to go into our Skywatch and our little group meeting first, and then, hey, maybe we'll come pay a visit to all of you and the other levels. So
there we go.
Have a great evening. Stay in the heart. Watch the skies. It's going to get really interesting. Good night.
Good night.